time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
This is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you thrive no matter what life throws your way. And life is always throwing us something, something that we can use as the raw materials to keep growing and keep changing. Now, sometimes we talk about mindset. Sometimes we talk about practical things. And today is practical day. I want to talk some about how to end the day on a high note. Now, in the past, I've talked about how to start the day off right. And I really do think that there's a lot to be said for kind of the rhythms of life, that, you know, starting the day well means that you've got this trajectory into the rest of the day that's going to keep it going. And if you end the day well, then you're moving into the other phase. Kind of if you think about the day beginning as kind of the inhaling of life, and then at the evening you're exhaling and taking a deep breath and calming down, that rhythm that keeps on happening. And so if you have a night that where you end up being well rested, then you're ready the next day to start that day well. And so this is just kind of part of that rhythm. So we've talked about how to have a good morning, how to start the morning right, how to get off to a good start. Today, I want to talk about how to end that day well. And obviously, the goal of the ending of the day is to get some good restful sleep. And when I say good restful sleep, you know, I know a lot of people will kind of roll their eyes and say, I just don't have time for that. And there are some reasons you might not. You know, in the past, when I've had projects, like when I was writing my dissertation and when I was writing my book, I was really up late and starting really early. And what I know, I was really burning that candle at both ends. When I was writing my dissertation, it really was a push to get it done. And I was working full time and was also writing. And so basically, I would come home, I would eat dinner after work, and I would start writing. And I would write until about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I would go to bed and get up at about 5 o'clock and write until about 8 o'clock. And then it was time to get the day going. And what I realized at that time was I was just frying myself. I could feel it in my body. I could feel it in my bones, but also knew it was short term. The problem is sometimes we get in the habit of thinking that we can shorten down that rest time and still live a full life. And at some point, that just doesn't work anymore. At which point it's going to happen to you, I don't know, but something's got to give when you're not getting the rest that you need. So the research shows, as much as we would like it to be different, that our goal for sleeping is somewhere between 7 and 9 hours. We've heard that repeatedly about the 8-hour mark, but 7 to 9 hours. There are some people who need a little less sleep and they can get by with 7 hours. And there are some people who need a little bit more and maybe they're trying to heal or get their body back in shape and need 9. But really less than that and more than that tends to be problem points. The real problem in our country tends to be less than that. That people end up really going long days and, you know, getting 5 hours of sleep or so, maybe 6 hours of sleep, and they're wondering why their body's beginning to break down. If you haven't heard the reports, sleep is being seen as more and more important as research comes in. We've known that sleep was important for a long time, but how important is only beginning to show with the latest research. For instance, did you know that weight loss is tied to sleep? In fact, weight gain is tied to lack of sleep. And so what happens is the body gets into a cortisol cycle where it keeps on putting that cortisol in the body. What does cortisol do when we're eating calories? Well, it stores it as fat for later energy because cortisol is one of those ways that the body knows it's under stress. It's got to take care of itself. And that stress leads to storage of fat. And so if you're trying to lose weight and you can't do it, or you find those pounds just slowly kind of coming on, one of the places to look is to see what you're doing with your sleep. If you're not getting enough sleep, it's going to be tough to deal with that cortisol level because when we sleep, our body gets into a relaxation. Or how about memory? Memory research is just expanding so much, and what we know is that our brain needs the sleep in order to restructure and kind of prune away what's needed and store what is needed. So it's getting rid of some things and storing the other things, and part of what plays into that is memory. So if you're finding yourself really in that forgetfulness and really having a hard time concentrating, a place to begin to look is to see about your rest. How about pain? People who suffer from chronic pain find that when they get the right amount of sleep, that chronic pain is a little easier to manage because the body is able to kind of reset when we sleep. And so even in pain maintenance, it's important to get that sleep in. How about mood? You know, let's face it, if you're not getting enough sleep, your mood is going to suffer. You're just going to feel worse. And so if you're wondering what that is, that constant aggression or that constant resentment and those constant feelings of frustration may be tied to the fact that you're just not getting enough rest. Or how about this? The immune system. If you want one reason, you're just trying to figure out one reason why you need to convince yourself to go ahead and get that sleep. Well, here it is. When you get 6 hours of sleep or less, you are 3 times as likely to get sick as when you're getting regular amounts of sleep, that 7 to 8, 9 hour range, looking for about 8 hours. And so even when you're dropping back just an hour, but more than an hour, you're at 3 times the risk of catching a cold, catching the flu, catching anything that's going around. Your immune system repairs itself while it's sleeping. In fact, your immune system is most active when you're asleep. And so it's getting there in there and scrubbing your body clean. And that just doesn't happen unless you're getting that rest. So I want to talk about 4 different pieces to put in that puzzle, because that really is the goal of the evening wind down, to get to that restful place. And in each one, each category, I want to talk about media and diet and the evening focus, and then helps to get you going if you're still stuck. And each one of those has some pluses and some minuses, some things to stop doing, some things to add on. So let's start with media. And when I'm talking about media, now it's such a media-rich environment. You can watch TV, you can, you know, watch things on your tablet or your phone, you can be playing video games, you can be engaged in lots of things online. And so what we're looking for is how to trim back what's not helping. For instance, getting rid of news soon before you go to sleep. Getting rid of news is a very important thing to do because, let's face it, those images you have stick with you in your sleep. If you're not aware of it, your brain is wired so that images go immediately from your eyes to the most primitive part of your brain, and your ears do the same thing. It's meant as a shortcut to make sure that your body is well preserved in case of some danger. So a rustle in the bush, you hear something, you see something, and it goes straight to that primitive part of your brain that's looking for threats. Well, that wiring happens when you're watching the news. So you're watching the news and you're constantly getting that diet of the war stories, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, you know, the horrible things that have happened, the killings and all those things that are basically those headlines of the media. And that's going straight to that primitive part of your brain. And so here you are trying to wind down your day, pumping your brain full of warning signs, of danger points, of thinking that things are at risk. And your brain can't tell the difference between what's really right in front of you and what's just right in front of you on the TV. So cutting out some of that news right before you go to bed can be very helpful, as can be avoiding the violent and exciting games where you're immersed in that environment. Now, I'm not saying you don't play games, but getting rid of those exciting games and maybe having those earlier in the evening if you're going to be one that plays those games is an important part of that wind down. And even being aware of those exciting TV shows. If you've got something, if you're planning on hitting the bed at 10 or 11, well, then by 8 or 9, you probably ought to start weaning yourself off of those high action movies. That doesn't mean you don't watch them. You might save them for later, DVR them and watch them a little earlier in the evening so that you don't have that adrenaline pump going in your body. You don't have those images running around in your head. Another one is email. How many people at the last minute, right before they put their head on the pillow, take one last look at the email? And here's the interesting thing to me about that. I've talked to people about this, and I even fall prey to it myself. You know, you take that one last look, even though whatever's in that email probably can't be dealt with right then anyway. You know, whoever you need to talk to is gonna have already gone to bed or turned off theirs if they have any sense. They've already turned off their email. And so probably if you need to call someone or get in contact with something, it's not gonna happen. And yet we still feel some sense of control if we look at that email. In reality, we have no more control than we would if we just waited till the next morning. So not checking that email at the last minute is an important piece of that. So what do you do instead? Well, A thing you might do is instead make sure that the last bit of media you're taking in is uplifting stuff. You know, a chapter from Chicken Soup for the Soul would be a good way of doing it, or reading a little self-help that leaves you motivated and feeling good about where you might move to. Or maybe you take in some calm puzzles, you know, those games that are just puzzles and things that kind of calm you down by repetition. So you can add those pieces of media in while you get rid of the media that is going to send your body into kind of a hyper state. So that's what we do with media. Try to calm down what's coming your way into a calm, soothing environment. Well, what about diet? You know, I think a lot of times we just kind of mindlessly go through the night, not aware of what's going on. So an important thing is caffeine. The half-life of caffeine is several hours. That means that the dose you're getting in is going to be in your system for a while. Now, that last cup of coffee, that last cup of tea, that last Coke, that last piece of chocolate has caffeine in it. And if your body is sensitive to caffeine, if it doesn't process it quickly, then you might find that still in your body and still is a stimulant while you're trying to go to bed. Also, getting rid of alcohol very close to bedtime is important. You know, I know a lot of people who have fallen under the myth that alcohol is a calming mechanism and kind of helps them fall asleep. But what they don't know is the brain scans show that alcohol actually disrupts our sleep. It may make you fall asleep, but it doesn't give you the right kind of sleep because it sedates parts of your brain that need to be going in order to get you to that sleep point. And so while many people use that as kind of a dosing mechanism to try to get themselves calmed down, in the end, what they're doing is disrupting what sleep they are getting. So making sure you are avoiding caffeine, making sure you're avoiding alcohol close to bedtime is an important thing. Also, watching your carbs. You know, carbs is another thing that we kind of don't think about as stimulants. And so watching those simple carbs you're putting in your system. You know, if you're sitting down to watch TV and you're grabbing those chips or popcorn or that candy, recognize that those carbs are going into your system and ramping your body full of sugar. It's just kind of like giving that toddler the pixie stick right before they head out the door. You know what you're going to get? Revved up, right? And so that tends to be how we get kind of into this place of diet that can make it difficult for us to fall asleep. Now, some people tell me that they're not about sweets. They're really about the salty stuff. And I say, well, what salty stuff are you eating? And they tell me potato chips and pretzels and popcorn, to which I'll say, but that still in your body is sugar. You may not realize it. You may look at the obvious stuff and say, I'm not eating dessert. I'm not grabbing a candy bar. But then you're putting those chips in that just turn straight to sugar when they hit your system, and you get the same effect. The other thing is to watch even eating at all, that hour and a half to 2 hours before bedtime. The reason is because the body's digestion takes a lot of energy. And part of what often happens is the body is trying to figure out how to digest that food when you're trying to wind down. There's another reason, and that is you're about to put your body, likely if you're sleeping anywhere typical, you're about to put your body in a horizontal position, which means that your stomach is no longer emptying by gravity and in fact has a tendency to have that acid up to the top of it. And that all that does is lead to the heartburn and other issues that people often have, especially if they have a tendency towards reflux. And so making sure you have a chance for your stomach to kind of clear itself out is an important thing to do. Okay, number three is evening focus. So we've talked about things to kind of add media-wise and get rid of media-wise and things to avoid with your diet, but your evening focus should not be on conflict. If you've got something to discuss with someone important, whether it's your child or a spouse or a significant other, it's not a good idea to aim that for the last thing to do before you go to bed. You've heard the whole old saying of don't go to bed angry. And I would say don't get angry right before you go to bed, right? And to avoid that, because sometimes we decide on these conversations that we've worked it through our head. We're just sure it's going to go well. But if it's an important conversation, to hold it off until that last minute is likely to mean that both people are worn out, likely to mean it's not going to go anywhere good, and likely to mean that it's going to send you to bed with an energy surge and an adrenaline surge that's not going to help with that calm down process. So if there are some difficult conversations to be had with people around you, it's important to have those earlier in the evening. Just make it a decision that within about 2-3 hours of bedtime, you're not going to have any of those big conversations. Now notice, I didn't say don't have big conversations. I said don't have them right before you go to bed, which is just going to leave you ramped up. So instead, what do you do? I think there are two things that are very important to do. One is the gratitude exercise that I've been talking about. And you remember this has a morning part and an evening part. And so you can do it either way. Either write down in the evening three things for which you are thankful, or start your day writing down three things for which you're thankful. If you write them down in the morning, then in the evening you're going to review them. And if you're writing them down in the evening, there you are, and then you're going to review them in the morning. Either way, on each end of the day, each end of the night, really, you're going to have this place of starting and ending the day with gratitude, which changes your brain function. It changes how you go about your life, and it changes your focus throughout the day. Not only that, but I think it also changes your focus throughout the night, that your brain is beginning to rewire around what it's looking for. And what it's looking for is the gratitude piece. So the gratitude exercise, write down three simple things for which you are grateful, either in the morning or the evening, and then review it either in the evening or the morning. And when you review it, you're trying to pull up that sense of gratitude that you feel and make sure you enlarge it and grow it and feel it and experience it in your body. The other thing is that you think about your goals for tomorrow. What do you want to have happen tomorrow? That's the last thing you want in your head. And it doesn't have to be I ought to or I should, but I'm going to. I got to make that phone call. I'm going to make the phone call that might change my life. I'm going to write that letter I need to get off my plate. I'm going to begin writing that book. Begin to aim for something big that brings something new and exciting into your life, and have that as your goal for the next day. Now, the important thing is to actually write it down. Don't just kind of ponder it, but write it down so that the next day you get up and you start your day charging forward with what's going to change. The final thing, number four, is the help. What if you've done these other pieces and still you find yourself stuck? There are a couple of things that could help. One is, I'm a big fan of melatonin in the evening if you're having a hard time going to sleep. I don't think it's something you have to take unless you're having a hard time going to sleep, but it can help. Melatonin is what the body produces naturally as a signal to itself that it's time to go to sleep. So one trick is kind of like as a supplement, and it's been proven to be a very safe supplement, to take some melatonin soon before bed, about an hour before you want to go to sleep. And that's a signal to your body that it's time to start shutting down and starting to get ready to go to sleep. So melatonin is a big piece. Another one is to watch the light. Remember, our ancestors, where we got our brain from, didn't have the luxury or the curse of electricity and turning on lights and keeping on lights at all hours. And so as the day ended, the light was fading. And as the light was fading, the body was beginning to do that natural place of sleepiness and tiredness. Just like as the morning begins, the sun was coming up and the day began. But now we can have the lights on around us all the time, and it fools our brain into thinking, oh, it must still be day. And so beginning to turn off lights and to turn down lights is important. And also to avoid blue light. If you're not familiar with blue light, let me just tell you where it comes from. It comes heavily from the screen on your computer. It comes heavily from your screen on your tablet or on your phone, and even from the TV. And so you're taking in the blue light. Well, the blue light, even if you don't notice that it's blue, that blue light is signaling your body it's daytime. And so if you got your nose in your tablet and phone and on your computer or even on the TV, right close to bedtime, it's still telling your body, it's sending the signal, this is daytime. Time to be awake, time to be alert, instead of time to be slowing down. So you want to make sure that you manage the light, turning off lights, beginning to make sure that you stay more further and further away from tablets and phones and TVs and computers is a great way of letting your body know it's kind of time to move on. Also, avoid strenuous exercise an hour to two before bedtime, because strenuous exercise also tends to ramp our body up. Now, long before that, you know, if you 2 hours before bedtime, you want to do a little workout, that's okay. The body has a chance to reset and relax. And sometimes that even helps get rid of some of the day's adrenaline. You just don't want to do it right before bedtime or within a couple of hours of bedtime, because again, ramping the body up is telling it it's time to get going, not time to slow down. A big one is to have a darkened bedroom. This is very important. A darkened bedroom is a big signal to the body to stay asleep at night. I have people who tell me that they have a hard time. They'll fall asleep, but then they wake up in the middle of the night, and I often ask, you know, do you have darkeners in your room over the windows, or do you have lights that are on? And a lot of times when people finally notice they realize that there's light coming through their windows still from the lights outside or the cars driving by. There's light coming from the other room. The computer's blinking in the other room. The router's blinking in the other room. And there's so many little places, you know, where the stereo might have a flasher on it, or maybe even your alarm clock, the light is coming out of that. There's so many places for light just because of how electronicized we've done our bedrooms. And so we want to make sure that you have it as dark as possible. Pitch black would be best, but as dark as possible is a good way of letting your body know time to go to sleep. And the last one is so crucial, and that is having a habit. That you don't try to go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning one night and then at 10 o'clock in the evening the next night. That you find some way of really maintaining some pattern, some habit of how you're going to do that. It's incredibly important to have that pattern because your body gets into a natural rhythm. If you say, you know, I'm having a hard time falling asleep, my response is, how often are you doing it at the same time? Do you break your habit? Do you one night go to bed early and another night stay up and then go back to going to bed early and you can't figure out why you go to sleep? Well, that's because your body is trying to figure out when it's supposed to be asleep and when it's supposed to be awake. So find a habit about when you're going to go to sleep and when you're going to get up. The more consistent you are with that pattern, the better, the richer your sleep is going to be. Okay, those are it. Those are the four pieces of the puzzle of how to make sure that your day ends the best it can so you're aiming for a great next day. I mean, this is when we're exhaling, getting ready for the inhale the next morning. So watch your media. Be aware of what media is coming in. Watch your diet. Be sure that you're not stimulating your body with that diet. Watch your evening focus. What are you watching? What are you watching? The bad stuff, or are you bringing in the good stuff? And finally, make sure if you need some extra help to look at the melatonin, to really avoid the strenuous exercise, to create your routine, and then go to sleep in a darkened room. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving evening as you move forward to having a thriving life.
Listening to the Thriveology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at thriveology.com or at thriveologymagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life, time to live it.